We'll continue to look at the Word of God today. The fifth of the lecture of the Numbers. We'll go through the chapter from 20 to 25. So going beyond the wilderness to the land of ministry. So we are now on the journey of the Numbers. So people exodus the land of Egypt and they move into the mountain Sinai state for a year. And they receive the word of God and the covenant. And they're leaving the mountain Sinai, which is the start of the history of the Numbers. So we've been going through until they arrived in front of the land of Canaan. So they went to the Canaan, spied the land of the Canaan, and they started wandering for 38 years. So by the end of the 38 years, because the consequence of disobedience of the 12 spies negative report, and 10 spies of the out of 12, 10 spies of negative report, they had to wander for 40 years. And they returned to the Kadesh Barnea on the first month of the 40th year after Exodus. So it's a totally new generation. So it was a time 600,000 people who were over 20 years old when they came out of Egypt mostly died for 38 years of wandering in the wilderness. So here in Kadesh, Moses' sister Miriam died and was buried. In May of that year, the fifth month of that year, Aaron died in a mountain Hor. It's a record in Numbers chapter 33 and verse 38. So at the command of the Lord, Aaron the priest climbed the mountain Hor at the age of 123 years old. He died there on the first day of the fifth month of the 40th year after the Israelites had left Egypt. So now the first generation of the Exodus mostly died, but Joshua, Caleb, and Moses remaining. 600,000 people over the age of 20 would have died. At the time, people under 19 would have lived and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So we can calculate the oldest among the second generation of the Exodus is 59 years old. Then Moses was 120 years old, Aaron was 123 years old, and Miriam was 130 years old, and Joshua was about 93 years old, and Caleb was about 78 years old. The accurate age only we can figure out how old he was when he died. So we are now calculating the age of the people who remained. So Caleb, when he spied the land of the Canaan, was 38 years old. So this is the end of the 40th year. So we can easily calculate Caleb was about 78 years old. So the first generation of the Exodus eventually died in the wilderness according to the word of God, and now first generation has been replaced by the second generation of the Exodus. But there, the second generation people in Kadesh who came back in 38 years complained same as the first generation of people, and the same complaint that Korah and the strangers asserted. There is no water. That was the complaining. So even new generation, same as the previous generation, you can see. So actually there was no problem with the people, but actually Moses made a mistake here. As we know, Moses heard over 40 years of complaints from the people. He consistently received all the complaints from the people. So he might be so tired of complaining of the people. So from the beginning of the Exodus and behave and say something differently than God's command. So the problem of water is resolved anyway, but the God does not let Moses and Aaron do this role in taking these people into Canaan, the promised land. So based on what the age we calculated, the oldest people except Moses and Aaron and Miriam and Joshua and Caleb, the oldest man of the second generation was 59 years old. Because of this one single mistake, Moses was not allowed to bring these people into the land of Canaan, even though he loved these people and he devoted all his life to these people. As this one mistake lose the opportunity for Moses to lead these people to Canaan, when we leave, some mistake can make you lose everything with a single mistake. So we cannot avoid committing mistake, but we need to be very considerate. So when you play the role of the leader, you can make various mistakes because you are human. However, we should not make a mistake that make God misunderstood and idolized, because we are a person in charge of witnessing a living God, as James chapter 3 verse 1. The word and act that Moses did without emotional control were action to bring God down to the level of idolatry. A pastor who does the same thing as the shaman who uses God's power for their favor should not be qualified. It is evil. Intercept the glory of God as their own glory. So we must reveal God's law by obeying to God's word. Moses made people misled as the stuff, and man's way create miracle. There are the word people were the wondering, so what kind of stick Moses picked up and used. Some say it is a walking stick of Aaron. Some commentators say it is a Moses walking stick performed many miracles before the king of Egypt and Exodus. Because it's not sure whether it was used to cross the Red Sea or Aaron's walking stick. But obviously the Lord said to Moses, take the sticks that is in front of the covenant box, and then you and Aaron assemble the whole community. Whether it was Aaron's rod or Moses' use, it was clear that it symbolized the living and power of God, which he put with the Ark of God. Then these people would know that God is alive even if they see the staff. It would have been possible to inform the true heart of God who helped us in time of crisis because there was no water. So the one who received the word of God should have played a part in revealing the love that is responsible for the holiness of God and suffering of the people. Moses and Aaron did not in this case. The emotion of men who are not managed by God's will turns God's work into a man's passion. The wrath of Moses in the past was a holy anger to bear the mission of God. However, Moses' anger in chapter 20 here seems to have take the glory of God and show people as if he has the ability to judge and perform miracle. It was a personal anger. Numbers chapter 20 verse 12 says, God said, because you did not have enough faith to acknowledge my holy power before the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land that I promised to give them. Moses and Aaron did not distinguish God from any idol of this world. They did not show God to be the true God of gods, but to make God perceived as an idol in the world. This is the reason why God, Moses and Aaron eventually cannot enter Canaan. So all leaders should remember this fact and lead people to the place where God has asked to with the servant heart and the love. So we must live a life that reveals only the love of Creator and His love. It is called Meribah in the meaning of complaints and dissatisfaction. Similar events happened before the arrival of Mount Sinai in the early days of the Exodus. And it was called Meribah or Massa. Here the meaning of the word Meribah means to complain, rather than the name of the place. A community that does not properly appeal about discomfort and express it with the complaints and grumble make these kinds of mistakes. Even though the people were overexpressing and exaggerating the word and appealing for the inconvenience, in fact, what people asking was a water, which is the essential things for man's life. However, it seems very challenging for Moses and Aaron to recall the events of rebellion with Korah in the past. Even if Israelites express it negatively, God has solved it without any other discipline or judgment about this kind of essential component for man's life. But the problem is, when the people complain about discomfort, the word of complaining stimulates the emotion of those who listen to them. So people who listen might misunderstand and accept them emotionally more than the fact. So instead of trying to solve the problem, it makes them to have more aggressive and emotional response. So when we see the conflict in between family members, between husband and wife, rather than the fact itself, normally it ends up with the emotional misunderstanding because of their response to each other and the attitude they take, and become more aggressive and end up with emotional responses. So when we live together in a community, there will be certainly be uncomfortable things. Then we must solve the problem by the fact in such inconvenient circumstances. You should not deal the entire community with your own emotion or complaint. The church has promises and ways to solve such problems, so that if we can correctly express each other and find a solution, such difficulties will be an opportunity to make a community to be united and grow with the strong bondage. So you must be sure about why I am in this community now, where I am going to, and what courses I am working through to find the problem right and solve it without being affected by the problem itself. Today we had to prepare the service, but because we couldn't use the main hall. But there was an Indonesian church preparing and practicing the song for the Easter. So if we have a misunderstanding, this can be another trouble. Even though we are aiming the same direction, so that sort of trouble can happen.
So above all, we must remember God is the one who called us to the community, and He is the one who made this process. Then it will be an opportunity to be mature, not a tripping over the obstacle of the problem, but taking the problem as a stepping stone.
So do not be grumbling, but thankful in your community. Believe in God's faithfulness and pray, obey, and become a Christian who reverses the adversity. Grumbling life is dangerous. They can make their leaders and everyone else tired and make mistakes. So after this event, Israelites began their journey to Canaan, east of the Jordan, to the plain of the Moab, just above the Dead Sea. In order to go there, they had to go through the royal road of the trade in the land of the Edomites. So Moses sent messenger to the people of Edom to ask to let his people go through Edomite land, by telling them that they are the descendants of the same ancestor. However, the Edomites refused their favor, so that they take a longer journey to go by path. Which path they took for the journey is not sure. Either they came down to the north end of the Red Sea, went around the Edom, then took road of the wilderness route of the east of the Edom and Moab, or some other way. But I will, however, read the Bible and refer to it in a way that can be understood. Firstly, Israel moved from the Kadesh to Mountain Hor, where Aaron died. So they stayed there for a month. And chapter 21, the king of Arad, in the Negev region of southern Canaan, leads the army to battle. Based on situation, I think that the ambassador had been sent to, messenger had been sent to Edom, not yet come back to Israelites. So Israelites went to the way they originally planned. So the story of Edom's rejection is in chapter 20. So if Israelites were rejected, they had to go around the land of Edom and went south. In chapter 21, Israelites just walked the path they had expected and planned. King Ararat, who lived in Negev region, in southern Canaan, felt threatened and went to the war. So after victory of the battle, Israel moved forward. So the people of Edom mobilized their troops and blocked the Israelites. Then it makes Israelites to turn the way to Ezion Gabel. Actually, Edom didn't open up the way to Israelites. The Israelites were forced to return on their long and difficult journey. Israelites were able to pass land of Edom by the battle. Because God did not allow it, they should have taken the journey with many times longer distance. That is why all the people again complained. So their God's judgment arose to kill many Israelites by the desert serpent. When complaints in Kadesh was about the water problem, Moses and Aaron were punished, but Israelites. But here the Israelites were punished. Because Edom is a brother country, even if it is a little uncomfortable to go a little farther, if Israel think about history, it was not a big problem. But Israelites complain with the root of greed. God sees the heart of people. Whether it's a complaint about irresistible things like water or the greed. Even today, complaints from your mouth come from a really irresistible things and environment and situation, or from just uncomfortableness, inconvenience. I hope you can think about whether it is a complaint that you can persevere and go for the glory of God, or you want to be more convenient, have more, and go easier. There are always a complaining and inconvenience within family, within community, within the church. So even though there's an inconvenience, if you have a heart want to go together, then we can go together. Fortunately, God gives a solution to make a copper snake and put it on a pole in a way Israel can be saved. Even though he was bitten by serpent, by faith, people see the copper serpent with true repent could be saved. The life of Christian is a life of faith. The copper snake is not saving life, but faith, because God says so. People obedient to the order are saved. It is compared to Jesus' crucifixion in the New Testament about this incident. Refer to John chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. This is also the same principle that by believing and obeying God's promise of salvation through Jesus on the cross. Do not forget that if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, you will be saved. It may be because of this, but if you refer to Deuteronomy chapter 2 or Numbers chapter 33, Israelites passed through the land of Edom and the land of Moab, not to return to the south of Elath and Ezion Gabel. The related passages of Bible are different from each other. It's not precisely listed the place where they visit. Whether Israel went round the land of Edom or not. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 8 says that he went around the Edom to the wilderness path of Moab. In Numbers chapter 33, when describing the whole itinerary, there is no mention of Elath, Ezion Gabel, and the wilderness of Moab. And the Bible says Israelites left the mountain Hor and camped in Samona. That it means the Israelites went to the way they originally wanted to go. It caused various prediction. Because I cannot make a correct check of the place name, so I tried to take the direction of the map as shown in the whole journey of the Numbers chapter 33. So, based on the ground of Numbers chapter 33, and the areas confirmed by traditionally in actual map, the Israelites went back to the Arabic road and followed the path they had originally intended to go to. However, God does not allow Israel to fight with Edom and brotherly house of Israel and Moab and Ammon, the tribe of Lot, Abraham's nephew. So Israelites turned the direction originally they headed down from the south to the north to pass through a place called Salmona and the edge of the Edom, then through Bunon, Lea Abarim, and Dibon Gad, go to the plain of Moab. And continue chapter 21 Then the people of Israel sent a messenger to the Amorite king Sihon to say, "Let us pass through your land. We and our cattle will not leave the road and go into your field or vineyard. And we will not drink water from your wells. We will stay on the main road until we are out of your territory." But Sihon would not permit the people of Israel to pass through his territory. He gathered his army and went out to Jahaz in the wilderness and attacked the Israelites. Then the Israelites turned and took the road to Bashan, and King Og of Bashan marched out with his army to attack them at Edrei. So the Israelites killed Og, his son, and all his people, leaving no survivors, and then they occupied his land. So God led the people of Israel. The king of Moab hears such news and uses a tactic to overthrow Israel so that they will not be conquered. Israel has already passed through the house of Moab without fighting, according to command of God. Balak, the king of Moab, is afraid to see Israel's ability to utterly destroy other nations. He tries to ally with a Midianite, Moses' father-in-law's tribe, and to fight with Israel. So chapter 12, 22 to 24, the conspiracy of Moab and Midian. Because the Midianites ruled the Arabian desert as their active stage, the east side of Aqaba Gulf, it was a nation with broad network of surrounding area for the trade with the Mesopotamia region to the north. Therefore, based on this network, Balaam, who worked as a famous fortune teller in Beor, south of Gelgamesh on the Euphrates River, tried to curse the Israelites. God considers these two nations, but these Moabites or Midianites are rather hostile to God's people. The story of this fortune teller Balaam in chapter 22 to 25, there are occasions when we are called Balaam as a prophet. So it is better to call him fortune teller, a shaman, not a prophet, because there can be a confusion with true prophets. So we just often see as a fun on the newspaper, the star sign, or your fortune of the day, which is actually misleading your spiritual life. It's not because they are true, but actually they are good enough to deceive people. Even though that those star sign and fortune telling is a man-made story, and even though it's a fake, it makes people confused, and it makes people spiritually so a divinating person is a person who has a skill and often referred to the fortune teller. These people point out that they use black magic to seek or hurt other people or their enemy. These are superstitions and forced belief that are based on people's psychology. Of course, sometimes it is misused by Satan or ghost, but God does not cause a person's soul to suffer from the curses or black magic of others. In the case of Job, Satan cannot do anything about the life of man or the soul of a man without God's permission. That is why God commands people to kill those who do these deceitful things and cause them to suffer. It is reason to drive out the Canaanites who do these things in general in the land of Canaan. So if you look at the Deuteronomy chapter 18, warning against the pagan practice. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, don't follow the disgusting practices of nations that are there. Don't sacrifice your children in the fire on your altars, and don't let your people practice divination or look for omens or use spells or charms, and don't let them consult the spirit of the dead. The Lord your God hates people who do these disgusting things, and that is why He is driving those nations out of the land as you advance. Be completely faithful to the Lord. Then Moses said, in the land you are about to occupy, people follow the advice of those who practice divination and look for omens. But the Lord your God does not allow you to do this. Through the chapter 22 through 25, it is not that God uses him as a prophet, because Balaam is trying to curse Israel and God speaks directly. Also, it is not that this person is a magic and black magic has a real effect. Now, after the event of the Tower of Babel, including the Canaanites, all mankind has fallen into the idolatry, manipulating people in a way that is ridiculous. It shows the reality of bringing them to the way of hell as a consequence to follow their own desire and greed. All of these things are rooted in the desire to make money and to control people according to their will. The reason why the Balaam eventually does this is because he was blinded by money. Greed drives him. He tries to earn big money by deceiving people. The meaning of the name Balaam is unfortunately a destroyer of people. His purpose is to treat other people's life to fill his greed. Through deceit, cursing, and whatever method he can or he could. They are in accordance with Satan's purpose to bring people to be ruined. So if you look at Balaam, you can see how Satan is trying to harm those who believe and how he is going to make people fall. In addition, you can see how God keeps his people from the attack of the Satan. No matter how Balaam is trying to curse Israelites, he could not curse the people of God, who directly guarded and led by God. Even if he has built an altar of cursing three times, he was not be able to curse. Rather, he talks about the blessing future that God gives Israel. With the destruction of future of Moab and Midian, who cursed the people of God, he further prophesies that all the tribe of Canaan would be defeated. This is our God. God keeps his people and blesses his people. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, it is written, I alone know the plan I have for you, plan to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plan to bring about the future you hope for. God prevents us from the curses, even keeps the promise of blessed tomorrow. Do you have difficulties and confusion in your life as if you were cursed? It is a ready blast furnace that God wants to make you like a gold, pure gold, or Satan's force threat. What God gives us is not a disaster, but peace and hope. So if you live a life worthy of call from God, do not worry about situation and the circumstances given to you. God will lead you to the promised land. The trouble and the hardship will grow your spiritual vision and the spiritual muscle to be strengthened. Do not speak unfaithful words as you see them, but do not forget the word of faith that you read through the word. So he will keep the promise he will make us as head, not the tail, above, not the below. So let's look at the situation and circumstances through the window of the word of God. Chapter 25, Israel fell into idolatry. Even God is doing these things that the people of Israel cannot even imagine and dream about to keep his people. But in chapter 25, the people of Israel stumble upon the temptation of the Balaam. There is a serious event and then sins with Moabite women committing fornication and falling into idolatry. Even though the prophet Balaam has no way to attack the Israel, he makes the Israel to follow the instinctive greed and to engage in idol worship. It is not in chapter 25 that Balaam did this, but it can be seen by referring to Numbers chapter 31 and the Revelation. So Revelation chapter 2 verse 14. It is written, "But there are a few things I have against you. There are some among you who follow the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak how to lead the people of Israel into sin by persuading them to eat food that had been offered to idols and to practice sexual immorality. As a result, the epidemic has killed 24,000 people in this incident. And from the tribe of Levi killed those who commit idolatry act." So far as we look at the history, we could see what God had done so firmly about the idolizing of God and the neglect of God's law and ordinance and the serving of the other idols. So this Balaam, even God gives him the opportunity to meet God and repent. Rather, he did what God forbid. God has forbidden and disliked. He has forsaken the Israelites into idolatry. He deceived the Israelites to receive the curse of God, which he could not do. It is exactly what Satan does. From the outside enemy, God fully protects and keeps us. But God cannot do anything with his or her own decision. If the man opens his heart by the personal greed, man will be destroyed. So first of all, God speaks firmly of these things through the first and the second and third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Because God gave us a free will and a hino, that's why through the Ten Commandments, through the Leviticus, through the Numbers, he repeatedly teaching people about what people should live for and how we should live for. The Balaam knows that God who treat people personally in person, one holy personality, they have made their holiness obscure by their greed. It is sure that God protect, bless, and love Israel. Balaam has done things that stimulate Israel's greed and cause God to leave himself. So we are collapsing because of this greed. Rather than outside the difficulty, because of the greed from the roots of the greed, let us open our heart. So do not forget the cause of the defeat of the many Christians today is not God, but those who have opened their heart before greed and pleasure. Such an attitude of a life that makes God as an idol by making him what they want, not treating him as God at all, leads to defeat. Today, many pastors do this without fear in the church. I mean, false pastors. In the name of a blessing, they are deceiving by the name of God and manipulating people. It is so often seen that people are led the way to fall into the material worship. Those false prophets, false pastors made the image of God in their own way, so that people could not easily find out what is the sincerity of God. So in the church, God's image has been distorted to satisfy their greed. So temptations can be seen in the church often as word. Those kind of false pastor, false prophet drive their members to manipulate God for their prosperity, life, and material well-being life. So today's church and today's Christian, we have the same challenge of the Balaam today in the church, in our life. So countless Christians today who misunderstood God are driven to Balaam's temptation and enjoy the world with sexual fornication. So money, honor, survival are the excuse of what they are doing and to justify themselves. Satan just threw the bait of greed. Satan did not just push it into people's mouth, he just threw it into people's mind and thought. After all, eating the bait and falling into the trap of greed is what the saints themselves do. But by man's own greed of himself, into the trap of greed. Satan is a very evil fisherman. So if you bite those bait thrown by the Satan, by your greed, personal greed, regardless of your will, you will be led by Satan. At the time of Balaam, he could not force the Israelite to serve the idol. But however, he only cast one base of instinct stimulation, lust and greed. The Israelites therefore have lost their lives and lived a life of greed and idolatry. Do not fall into the scheme of Balaam, the scheme of Satan. God is now protecting his people from Balaam, the Satan. However, these people embrace the Satan's bait, greed and the lust. The struggle in this world is not God's substitute, but all our own choice of faith. God has already overcome Satan's lies for us fully. But God is not the one who fight on my behalf. God wants me to trust in God and to fight with greed and greed of Satan with his promises by faith. So God wants us to live like Abraham and like David. No matter the situation and deepest valley, difficult situations, keep on following the and trust, full trust in God. Now that we have arrived at the final attack site to enter Canaan, still greed always lifts its head and easily makes the sanctified people polluted and secularized. In this age, our word, our lives, our thought, our pursuit, let us look back on whether we are obsessed with greed, lust, and passion that rush in. Even in the church, we can be caught in greed, lust, power, and desire to be praised. Even if Israel has been victorious to the plain of Moab and become the best army, they can fall into greed and lust. I pray that I'll be able to live a true life, a Christian soldier, in the field of my life where I live today by correctly understanding the will of God and the intention of God to tell the story of Balaam through several chapters. Let's pray.